Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University on 610 ESPN Philadelphia and 107.5 Alive. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti. Our guests this week are Arizona Cardinals linebacker Devon Kennard and Christina Hofstadt. She is a community relations manager for the National Football League. You'll hear those interviews coming up. Really excited to share both of those with you. This week, Remy and I are going to talk about cancel culture. Are you ready? Cancel.
As ready as gets.
Get your X out. Get the red marker out and get ready to draw X's through people and start canceling. We're going to talk about cancel culture because suddenly it's become the thing to do on social media. Someone messes up, whether it's saying something stupid, making a terrible decision, whatever the egregious mistake may be, and now they find themselves being canceled on social media. The power, right? The power of social media. Let's cancel whoever it is. And I just have one simple question. Can you imagine if Jesus canceled us every time we mess up?
Yeah, or cancel the things he gave us for free, as in salvation, and the things that he said he will give us, as in you will be in heaven with me. You will be at my right hand, or you will have forgiveness as soon as you say that, hey, I'm giving my life to Christ. You are forgiven. All that is going to be canceled. Can you imagine canceling all that? Well, can you imagine saying, Jesus going, yo, you messed up.
You're done. I'm going to write you off. I'm going to put an X through you.
I'm canceling you. I'm canceling forgiveness.
Good thing for all of us, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing for all of us. Thank the Lord that he does not cancel us. He forgives us over and over and over and over each and every time we make a mistake, regardless of how awful it may be. If we are truly, genuinely remorseful, he extends forgiveness and he offers us this amazing gift of grace. Not because we deserve it, but because he loves us that much. He loves us so much that he took our sin and he covered it with his blood when he was crucified on the cross. But now, because it's the popular thing to do, we are canceling other people who make regrettable mistakes, dumb decisions. Are we forgetting that we also are not perfect? Only Jesus was perfect. Contrary to the nonsensical statement by a news anchor the other day who said on national television, Jesus Christ admittedly was not perfect when he was here on this earth. But I digress. I don't want to get into that.
I just want to know who admitted that.
That's nobody. Nobody admitted that. And kudos to former guest, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Tony Dungy, one of the greatest coaches, a genuine man of Christ who called him out. That's a good example of using social media. No, sir, you don't know who Jesus Christ was, clearly. But
it just sounds good, I guess.
In regards to cancel culture, I think Jesus probably talked about cancel culture. Not probably. I know he talked about cancel culture.
He disrupted culture. Yeah. He did not cancel culture. He disrupted culture.
But in regards to cancel culture, I'll tell you what he said about it. Whoever is without sin, cast the first stone. See, because none of us are perfect. Only he was. I'm not saying, though, I'm not saying we shouldn't hold people accountable for sins. Of course, there's consequence for those actions, and depending on the level of sin or mistake, those consequences could result in people going to jail or losing their jobs. And there's so many other potential ramifications of sin. But cancel culture doesn't seem to believe in second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances, even though every single one of us needs forgiveness many times throughout our lives. What cancel culture doesn't do, it doesn't allow for learning from mistakes, for growth, for opportunity to turn any negative into a positive. So instead of jumping up to cancel someone, anytime we feel a person has crossed the line or committed a sin, whatever it may be, my hope is we consider approaching all of these situations with a Christ-like heart and attitude and offer forgiveness, and also look for ways to educate, enlighten, and focus on God's word. I'll give you two more verses. Jesus said in Luke 6:37, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Mm-hmm. That's powerful words. Right. We mess that up all the time. I know I'm guilty of judgment all the time. So I know I messed that up, but I'm glad that I'm forgiven.
I'm guilty of canceling things all the time.
Oh, I wasn't gonna get there. I wasn't gonna go there. But hey, I'll give you one more.
I do.
Before you go there, I'll give you one more. When Peter asked Jesus in Matthew 18, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister?" Mm-hmm. Up to seven times. And Jesus said, "I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven." So instead of canceling people, how about we cancel culture?
Yeah, I mean, I totally get what I get what they're doing too. I get it. Like, I understand that it's kind of, we're in this culture now that if something bothers you, you hit the unfriend button, you hit the unfollow button, you cancel things right away, mute things, and everything is at a click of a button. Cancel, cancel, cancel. So it's becoming an okay thing to just disregard whatever is happening and just cancel it, because it's easier to just throw away something instead of fixing it. But see, Jesus is trying to teach us all the time to fix things, the root of the problem, and not just sever
ties,
the weak link. You can't do that. You have to always think of the root. You have to always think of, what can I do to fix the root issue and not just take the whole plant and throw it away? I mean, I'm dealing with that issue right now in my garden. Like, for some reason, two of my flowers just died on me for no reason.
Okay.
And I am tempted
You are religious about taking care of those watering those.
It bothers me. And then two of them just died on me all of a sudden. I'm like, what did I do wrong? Something went wrong. And today,
I'm going to tell you right now, hold up. I'm not going back to the florist place that we went to and buying.
The farm is amazing.
That was like a three.
So you're canceling the farm, huh?
That was like a $300 trip. Take care of those plants.
I love my plants. So that's what I'm saying. As much as I want to like just rip it up and throw it away, I want to fix what the root of the problem is. I want to know what I did wrong. And that's what we always do in this culture now. We're too quick to just
write somebody
yank it
off.
Out and throw it in the trash instead of saying, hey, let's heal our land. Let's heal what's happening. Let's heal the root of the problem. If there is issues with races, if there's issues with politics, if it, whatever it is, let's heal it instead of just deem everything horrible and whatever and just cancel everything. Because we can't keep doing that. If we keep doing that, we're going to cancel everything.
There will be no learning. There will be no educating. Nothing. There will be no growth. There will be no maturation process. Yeah. There will be... Anytime someone, let's just go to a simple, and I'm not, let's not talk about something as like crime.
Yeah.
Okay? Because crime will have legal ramifications that will put you in jail. And yes, everyone deserves a second chance, a third chance, forgiveness, and Jesus extends it to everyone. I go into prisons, and I haven't this year, and that's one of the biggest things I miss about right now during this global pandemic. It isn't watching sports, even though I'm a sports writer and a talk show host. No, for me, I miss playing sports, and I especially miss going into prison and being able to play softball against inmates, but more importantly, bringing the gospel to these men. And then seeing some of these men accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If we canceled those men and just left them there simply in prison to rot, rather than give them a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance, we don't know the product of the environment that they grew up in.
Yes.
We don't know what went into getting them there. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to these guys and sat down with these guys and cried with them and hugged them. And as I think about it right now, I can't even imagine now with this pandemic how we can go back in there and you know, you're sweating, you're playing, right. you're hugging, it's you're difficult. Crying, you're baptizing, you're doing all that. Yeah. But to see these men completely turn their lives around, if we canceled them, there would be no chance at redemption. If we cancel everyone who messes up, there's no chance for redemption. But I'm not even talking about when someone commits a crime. Mm-hmm. Let's put that aside for a second and talk about when someone says something stupid. Mm-hmm. Anytime someone says anything dumb publicly and they're in the spotlight, they're called out for it. And yeah. deservedly so. But instead of canceling them, how about we educate them? Because more often than not, if a person in a high-profile position mm-hmm. will say something that is very offensive, others may believe the same thing. So let's bring light to that situation.
Right.
Let's educate, enlighten, talk about it rather than canceling it. And that's why I see this cancel culture. And here's another example. We're sitting here, we're doing Faith on a Field show, and we have a live studio audience with us.
We really do.
We have our beautiful, incredibly talented, gorgeous loves of our lives, mm-hmm. Alexia and Melina, are sitting here. And as parents,
they're so awesome.
Can you imagine, and I love this because it's become an educational thing for them. They sit right. there and they listen.
I already know something. I understand what you said, and now I know what it means.
I'm so glad. See, thank you for your contribution. I love you guys, and awesome. I appreciate you listening, and I'm glad you understand what we're talking about. But can you imagine if we didn't extend forgiveness to our children?
Yeah.
Right? Imagine if they make a mistake and all of a sudden we want to cancel them. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you take your child, and some parents may do that, and mm-hmm. they may make a mistake and they write them off or and they don't want to educate them. Or grow, or help them mature, help them learn. So I know it's this thing to do because everybody likes to hop on social media and be that person who created the hashtag cancel so and so.
Can you imagine if Jesus canceled Paul? Well, Saul at the
time. How about that?
If he had canceled
Saul, what a phenomenal example.
Paul would have never. I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Jesus would be like, yo, you killed my people. We're done. You're done. You're canceled. That we would have never had Paul and all the amazing things he wrote in the Bible. Can you imagine? We would have just missed out on so much.
We're talking about
the greatest
one of the greatest disciples who wrote 13 books of the New Testament and 13 books of the New Testament he wrote. And if Jesus would have canceled him because he was crucifying and murdering and persecuting Christians, but instead Saul became this. You want to talk about redemption stories?
Exactly.
Saul became Paul on the road to Damascus as he's riding, and we all know the story. And he's riding and on the horse, and he gets knocked off, and he becomes blinded, and suddenly he is converted, and he converts from a man who hates Christians and hates Christianity to becoming one of the most incredible disciples.
Right.
If Jesus would have canceled Paul.
And you know, another thing to that, we're not talking about someone coming to Christ for redemption. We're talking about someone continuously going after Christians to kill them on purpose and not asking for redemption, not asking for a new way of life. He was going after them. In fact, he was on the way to kill someone.
We're talking about something beyond someone an idiotic statement. Like, this is something more egregious. Flat out murder of Christians.
Yeah. So and then Jesus meets him right there because he knows the potential of what's inside of him. If he would just extend that redemption to him, what would happen? And look what happened.
Whoever is without sin, cast the first stone.
Right. Right.
Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Those are difficult.
Yeah.
And we're all guilty of it. I'm not perfect. I am guilty of this every single day. You said it yourself. You're guilty of canceling people, not on social media, but maybe in life. And we'll talk about that. We've talked about that before too.
We have. It's just that it's difficult for me. I'm one of those people that I'm very loyal to a fault, and I'm also very passionate.
Yeah.
So if I get so emotional about things, I'd be like, all right, I'm done. So I do cancel things.
Instead of canceling people, let's take cancel culture and cancel it. Up next, we're going to hear from Devon Kennard. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University on 610 ESPN Philadelphia and 107.5 Alive. Rob Motti with Remy. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every show and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list, and we'll send you our episodes right to your inbox. We love to read your messages, so keep on sending them. We appreciate everything. Keep sharing our shows out there to whoever it is. We really do appreciate that. Tell everyone and anyone about Faith on the Field Show. Make sure you also follow us on all of our social media platforms, our personal ones. I'm at Rob Motti on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, at Real Rob Motti on Instagram. Remy is at Remy Motti, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting. You can also go to my YouTube channel and listen in to some of my recent messages. Our first guest this week is Arizona Cardinals linebacker Devon Kennard. Devon was a fifth-round pick by the New York Giants in 2014. He played four seasons for the Giants, spent the past two in Detroit, and had seven sacks each season for the Lions, which helped earn him a nice three-year, $20 million deal from the Cardinals in free agency. I spoke to Devon in Miami during Super Bowl week. He was there as a Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. Here is that conversation. Welcome in, Devon Kennard. You had a very nice 2 years in a row now, seven sacks for you. Right. You're here as a Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, which is a very prestigious honor because you could win a lot of things for what you do on the field. Mm-hmm. But what you're doing off the field and philanthropy and business and giving back and charity stuff, man, that's what it's all about. Tell me about the importance to you.
Yeah, you know, entering the NFL, I've always felt like there's two things that would be amazing to accomplish, mm-hmm. and that's winning the Super Bowl and being a nominee and winning, you know, the Walter Payton Man of the Year. So when I was nominated for this award, it was truly an honor for me, you know, to be mentioned alongside Walter Payton and some of the great people who've been nominated and who've won this award is extremely humbling. And, you know, I'm just grateful to be in this position, and I want to shed light on the organization that I've worked with over the years.
Well, tell us about that, because every player's got a lot of different things that they're involved in, some favorite charities, some foundations, some of their own organizations. What is it that's working for you, and what means the most?
You know, for me, it's youth education and mentorship. I feel like, you know, I was blessed enough to have a brother and father in my life who were great mentors and leaders for me. And my dad played professionally, so I had a great role model to look up to. But I know there's a lot of kids who don't have that. And, you know, I look in, especially in inner city areas, and a lot of kids think they have to, you know, play sports to be successful. And you know, I really like relaying the message that you could be more than an athlete. You know, you don't have to just stop there. And, you know, I think my life is a testimony of that. I graduated with my undergrad and master's degree when I was at USC. I've always taken school seriously. I have other interests outside of football, and I like to share that with kids so they can understand that, you know, don't limit yourself to only one thing. You know, let football be what you do, but don't let it be who you are.
Well, that's a great message for kids. It's really a good message for everybody, even fellow teammates who are out there who maybe when they retire from the NFL, they identify as being an athlete. They're used to the checks coming in. They're used to the glory, the fame, and everything right. else. But then when you walk away from that sport, all of a sudden, you know, it changes for you. It seems like you've prepared yourself well for life after the NFL, whenever that happens. Right. How important is that?
I think it's so important. You know, I truly believe, you know, the game's not going to be loyal to you forever. Mm. At some point, I don't care who you are, I don't care how good you are, I don't care what you've accomplished, you're going to have to walk away from the game at some point. And, you know, who are you without the game? And if you don't know that, or if you haven't identified that and recognized that, then you're going to struggle. And, you know, I really believe that, and I try to, you know, show that in the way that I live my life. And, you know, that's why I support that with kids. And I work with a nonprofit organization in Detroit called the Midnight Golf Program, and it's helping high school seniors, and it's a mentorship program that helps them transition to college. So It helps them with SAT and ACT prep, applying for scholarships, applying for colleges. They take them on college tours all across the country. So it just provides kids who might be first-generation college prospects, you know, showing them the ropes on how to get there and what to do. And a lot of times that's all kids need is an opportunity and some guidance.
Well, it sounds to me like you also got a strong foundation in the Lord. How important has your faith been to you throughout your life, and how much does it really mold and guide what you're doing and as far as giving back?
Yeah, early in my life, I'll say, you know, My relationship with God was more so like, oh, if I do this, he's going to reward me. And, you know, my senior year of high school, I actually tore my ACL.
Wow.
And it was a humbling experience. It was the first time that I kind of started to realize that I was tethering my identity to the game of football, and who was I without the game. And that's where I started to build a relationship, you know, with Christ and figure out who I was, you know, without the game of football. And it kind of, you know, even now I feel like that's why he allowed that to happen in my life, because, you know, he needed me to recognize and see that. And now, you know, I try to keep that perspective and carry that perspective with me in all that I do.
Well, man, every time I finish a show, I always say, make a difference, be a blessing. That's my sign off when I do a radio show. And I love to have somebody on like you who's actually out there making a difference and being a blessing to people. So whether or not you're named the Walter Payton Man of the Year, just being recognized to this point is an incredible honor. Thank you so much for joining us, and really applaud you for all the work you do.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was Arizona Cardinals linebacker Devon Kennard. We have a special guest from the NFL coming up. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University, 610 ESPN Philly on 107.5 Alive. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Rick Santella, the Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. Our next guest is Christina Hofstadt. She was the executive director of the Rashad Jennings Foundation. Rashad, as you'll recall, was on our show a couple months ago. Christina now is a community relations manager for the NFL. She's also founder of A Seat at the Table and host of the Set Apart Women podcast. I spoke with Christina this week. Here is that interview. Christina, in your role as the NFL community relations manager, what are some of the things that you currently do for the league?
Yeah, so I work with all 32 teams on giving back initiatives from a league level. Obviously, every team gives back in different ways, whether their players are passionate about the cause or owners. But from a league level, we implement three. So Crucial Catch for Cancer Awareness, Military Appreciation with Salute to Service, Play 60, and then I also manage Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year. So from a league level, just working with the 32 teams to make sure that those initiatives, for me, primarily, I focus on Crucial Catch and Man of the Year, are implemented in the 32 and how we can help to amplify those efforts on the national level. And then also when we have tentpole events, so the Super Bowl, draft, Pro Football Hall of Fame, Combine, kickoff, we have a week leading up to the big game. We do events every day in the community. So another part of my job is just working with our our small team of four to kind of divvy those up and play point on some of those key events leading up to the big games.
Giving back is part of having a servant's heart. So as a believer, as a strong Christian, how important is that for you to be involved in a way that you can help use the platform of the NFL and help players in the league utilize that platform and give back to the community in so many different ways that you guys are working together?
So yeah, serving is super important to me. I think just my journey in getting to the NFL, God has really pressed on my heart to serve no matter where you are. I always say, and Rashad Jennings and I, we used to work together. He's one of my great friends. Just be where your feet are. A running back has to be take 1 yard before he can get into the end zone. And so for me, just the journey even getting to the NFL has all been about serving the person. Love God and serve the person that's in front of you. And so now that I'm at the NFL, it's really cool to see how just God will continue to give you more territory per se to be able to do that, and just building the relationships with the players and being able to model Christ's heart and love for them, for the team, for the people I work with, and especially the people that we interact with in the community. As a believer, it's really cool just to see God's presence show up whenever we have an event, because obviously a lot of what I do, everything that I do, is based on prayer and just being in a relationship, in my relationship with God. So it's just really cool to see that come to life on such a big scale.
Tell us about that journey to the NFL. Was it a dream job? Was it something you always aspired to do? Or did you just follow God's call throughout your life, wherever your career took you, and it just so happened that the door opened for the NFL?
That's exactly what it was, what you just said. It's been a journey. It's been super unconventional, I think. And following God, you always kind of have a plan of what you think you're supposed to be doing. And for me, I knew that, I played college volleyball. I grew up playing sports. I knew I'd always want to work something involving sports and staying somewhat within the industry. But I was a teacher, a high school teacher and a coach in my early 20s. I loved it. I felt fulfilled there. I was teaching kids that couldn't read in 11th and 12th grade to help them graduate from college. And God had put it on my heart to be there and to be in the schools. It was nothing that I had studied. I had studied to work in sports broadcasting, did that for a little bit. But when I picked up that side job coaching high school volleyball and eventually became a teacher, that was my sweet spot. And it was in those early years of my 20s that God said, I want you to be obedient no matter where I take you. Don't worry about the next step, but just be focused on where you are right now. And I'm going to lead you to where you're supposed to go for the rest of your life. And so for me, being a teacher, being a coach, Rashad Jennings and I, we've been friends since I was 20 years old. And he actually saw me teaching these kids, and his foundation focused on literacy. So he asked me to come run his programming at the foundation. And initially I had said no, because I felt like I had found my sweet spot with students. And then God really spoke to my heart after prayer and said, if you could impact this many people in one school and these students for their hearts, and even some students giving their lives to Christ, how much more so can you do on a global scale with the platform that Rashad has and what he's giving you? So that step alone was just a pure step of obedience. And then same with the NFL, I was so happy and so content being the executive director of Rashad Jennings Foundation. I loved it. I never thought I would leave. And then when the Lord opened up this opportunity around 2.5 years ago to take this position, I just felt like he was nudging me to take that step in faith and to do it, for the season that I'm in. So all that to say, it's been just honestly a lot of prayer and asking God, like, okay, let me love these people on the court. Let me love the janitor that's cleaning up the locker room for these girls. Let me love the teachers that I'm working with. Okay, now I'm going to move to the next step and I'm going to love these kids I'm working with the foundation, with the players that Rashad is introducing me to work with. And now with the NFL, I just carry that same philosophy, because obedience will do so much more than you can do in your own power. And I just want what God wants for me, ultimately.
It seems that you were very aware along the way that God was orchestrating every step of your process throughout your career. So tell us about your journey accepting the Lord, coming to know him, what your background in the church was, and if there was a moment in time where it really became a faith that was your own and not what you grew up knowing.
So I actually grew up, my mom's Colombian from South America, and I grew up in the Catholic Church, going to church every Wednesday and Sunday. really just out of tradition and something that's been, you know, generation to generation. And when I was around 16, I was going through a lot in school, student athlete, just a lot of pressures that I had put on myself. And I remember I was grounded for something and my mom and dad took my car away and they said the only place that you can go is church if you want, but you have to ride your bike. Mm. So I got on my bike. I biked like 15 miles. It was like a while from my house and I went to church, but instead of going to mass, my heart was so troubled that I didn't even want to see people. So I would go into the prayer room where people would usually pray the rosary. Mm. And for me, I just went in and I just felt, now in hindsight, you know, it was the presence of God, but I felt different in that room because I would just come and pray and cry. Like there would be a puddle of tears for me just sitting there for an hour telling God what was on my heart. And so fast forward to college, again, going through just what normal college students go through, trying to find direction, going through some things. And I remember just being like, and a few people had told me about a non-denominational Christian church. And I think I was like, I was young in college. I think I was like 19. And I had taken this internship to work for scout.com. And one of my assignments was to go interview a few players. And every time I would interview these players, I would ask them a question and they would give me scripture back, but they wouldn't say that it was scripture. So an example is I would say something like, you know, tell me how you stay encouraged throughout the season or something. And they would say, well, you know, faith is being certain of the uncertain and the unseen. Well, a believer would know that that's Hebrews, that's in the Bible. But for me, I would go home and try to sort these, like, cite what he's telling me. I thought it was a good quote. I was super into quotes. So I Google it, and all of a sudden, I'd end up reading the Bible for hours. Like, first time actually reading the Bible.
That's awesome.
And it just completely transformed my life. So I had gone through a couple things and ended up going to a non-denominational Christian church and just gave my life to Christ. And I remember with one of the things that I had gone through that I'm writing a book about right now, I remember saying, God, like, if you deliver me from this, if you protect me from this, I will serve you the rest of my life. And I'm telling you, he did. And I completely radically changed when I was 20 years old. My life has never been the same. And I followed him ever since and kept every promise. Hasn't always been easy to in certain situations, but he captured my heart from even when I was a Catholic and now obviously full-fledged Christian, sold out to Jesus. So,
oh, amen. That's a beautiful story. Well, this show was created 3 years ago because I wanted to take Jesus to my marketplace, and I have a similar background growing up in Catholic schools and a Catholic church. And I wanted to use my platform as a sports writer, a radio personality, and all the connections that I've built with Christian athletes and sports to talk about our faith and have a relationship with the Lord and talk about that on sports radio. So it's been amazing and it's been an incredible journey. So I love and appreciate that you aren't shy at all, Christina, about using your platform to share Christ. And even working with the NFL, when sometimes in this culture we have to be careful, we have to balance, you do a great job with it on social media. You've also organized a weekly Bible study for sports media people. When did you realize that you didn't want to be a silent Christian and you wanted to really utilize the platform that you've been blessed with to try and bring more people to the kingdom?
I would say a prayer, even as early as like right when I gave my life to Christ. So a few years after, maybe I was 21 or 22. Whenever I picked up that side job coaching volleyball, I remember God speaking so clearly to my heart. And he still says the same thing to this day and reminds me of it. And I always tell people that I don't need another volleyball coach out there winning championships and titles. I don't need another volleyball coach who's just going to go out and have fun at practice with the girls. I don't even need a volleyball coach that's necessarily going to just mentor these girls, which is a good thing. He said, I need someone that's going to glorify my name and that's willing to share stories of my love. And that's what's going to transform people on the court. That's what's going to transform the people that you come in contact with. And so I think as early from just having those 12 girls on my volleyball team and those that I came in contact with, God emphasized the importance of, if I have you somewhere, I have you there for a reason, and the reason is not to glorify yourself or any self accolades or accomplishments. It's to glorify my name. And like you said, to your point, and I still have that philosophy now. I'm like, God doesn't need someone else working at the NFL, or doesn't need another player. He needs people that are going to lead, you know, back to him. And that's kind of just, that's when I knew, and I just carry that over into where I am. And it hasn't always been easy. Like you said, on social media, you know, sometimes you wonder, like, I wonder if I'm going to get fired today because I was a little outspoken, or they might try to find a way, not necessarily the NFL, but just people in general might have something to say about it. Mm-hmm. But I think in everything, you have to have discernment and wisdom, regardless of, even if you're a Christian, you have to have discernment and wisdom as to when you're going to speak, when you're going to listen, when you're going to post, when you're not. Is it your place? Is God really leading you to say something? Because timing is also everything, and having discernment and praying for wisdom, because he does say, you know, ask me for wisdom, and if you ask him, he will give it to you. And so for me, it's just like finding that balance is all about being prayerful and saying, what do you want me to post today? Or maybe should I hold off on this thought? Because if I try to do it on my own, I'd probably not have the platform.
Yeah, there are a lot of challenges, and I see those, and working for the Associated Press, I'm limited sometimes in what I can say socially, and I can't really say anything politically, but I've been blessed that they allow me to speak about my faith without holding back. So that's really cool, and I love being able to do that. But even when we do that, there's always pushback. You know, there's always pushback. I the last week's episode was about putting Christ back into Christianity, and I really approached it with the heart of, rather than arguing and debating and name-calling and fighting, because I see so much of that when we get into politics and people are discussing politics, like, how about we take our loyalty to Christ and have that be our foundation and be more important than our loyalty to whatever political affiliation we have. Yet someone called me of no earthly good because that's my views. So it's there will always be pushback, but I applaud you for standing up boldly and proclaiming your faith, because it is difficult. And when you stand out and when you do things differently, people will be, they'll notice you, but they'll also look to attack you sometimes. And I always felt like the closer you're walking with the Lord, the harder the enemy tries to get you derailed off that path. So have you found some challenges that you sometimes face on, whether it's a daily basis, weekly, monthly, that you have to navigate through, that maybe can encourage somebody out there who may be early in their journey, early in their walk with the Lord, that, hey, it's worth it. It's more important to maintain what I have with Christ than it is to give in to worldly views.
That's so good. I know you 100% agree. I am nothing without Christ. And
Amen. Yes. None of us are, Christina. I love
nothing.
That.
Yes. I'm scared of myself without him. Like, I know what it's like to live without God at the center of my life, and I don't like it. And I would say, you know, something I always remind myself of, regardless of the room that I'm in, regardless of the position I have, just Christina as a person, is I have to have a greater yes. And for me, that yes is eternity with Christ. And that yes is to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And so for me, let's say, I mean, let's use a football analogy. That's my end zone. That's what I'm trying to run towards every day of my life until God calls me home to heaven. And with that, it's like, if I'm faced with a situation where I feel led to speak up about something, or to compliment someone, or to say something, or even hold someone accountable, and that natural fear comes in of like, what are they going to think about me? You know, that's natural. We're human beings. It's then I have to think of my greater yes. I have to think of my end zone. And I have to say, I need to be intentional, because everyone else is intentional about, you know, their beliefs and screaming those from the megaphones, regardless of what they are. So why can't I be about mine and sticking with them? And, you know, that's just been my encouragement, is like, at the end of the day, if I'm faced with something, it's being obedient to say, like, almost like slapping, this sounds bad, but like slapping myself out of it and being like, okay, I'm like thinking too much like the world right now, and I'm caring too much about what man's going to think. So now I need to just follow God, because I do want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's all I live for at the end of the day. You know, make God known and have a greater yes. You can't do anything if you, I mean, think about it this way. if, and I've said this before many a times, actually, because I live by it. If a football player doesn't have, and I asked Dak Prescott this actually in something that I was doing with Man of the Year in Atlanta a couple Super Bowls ago. I was like, Dak, what's your point like on the field? Like, I don't care if you were a peewee playing football or now at the NFL. What is, and regardless of who your coach was, what is one thing that they've always said about that you need to do on the field? And he said, well, I need to win the game. I said, how do you win the game? He's like, usually you got to get a touchdown or something like that. I said, okay, well, what does that mean? He's like, well, we got to get in the end zone. And for me, it's just like, if they don't have an end zone and they don't have that common goal or well done, good and faithful servant, they're going to be running up and down the stands. They're going to be on the sidelines chatting. They're going to be so distracted from what you're called to do on this earth. And I don't want that. And so it's just intentionally rerouting and rewiring and renewing your mind with what you really want in life and what God's called you to.
That is beautifully said, Christina. Tell me a little bit about what inspired you or motivated you to start that Bible study for sports media.
Yeah, so actually, when I started at the NFL 2.5 years ago, there's a bunch of different groups that people have internally amongst employees. And anything else, like any other job that I've worked at, whether it was a coach or with Rashad, I'd always started some kind of Bible study for teachers, for students, or for Rashad, for our staff. And so here I noticed that there was nothing really available at the NFL for that. And again, it's just internal, and it's just like a thing that's not hosted by the NFL, but it's just something I wanted to start with employees that were interested. And so every day at 5, starting 2.5 years ago, the employees that, you know, was starting to get bigger, but we would all just gather in a conference room and have a Bible study, and everybody was on different areas with their walks, and some people were just interested. So we have been doing that for 2 years. And when the pandemic hit, I was like, we just need to get everybody on here, like NHL, NFL, MLB, whatever. So we started it, and now we have players, coaches. We have people, EVPs from NHL. We have NFL, all the different leagues and teams, agents. We just have everybody on there, people from the media. And it's been really cool to see how God has used a platform like Zoom to just bring everyone together. And we have Miles McPherson's associate pastor, Greg Hendricks, out in San Diego at the Rock Church, leads the study. He's a really good teacher. And then we have a guy named Blaze and a few others that come in that were on The Voice to lead worship. So it's so interesting to see what God's doing, and people are giving their lives to Christ and continue to invite people from the industry. So that's all you can ask for.
Well, I appreciated the invitation, and I did join you once, and I look forward to doing it again. It's awesome, and I thank you for doing that, because it is a tremendous thing that you're doing and bringing people together, and really it's all about focusing in on the Word of God. Now, you're involved in a lot of things. Founder of A Seat at the Table, the Set Apart Women podcast. Tell us what you're doing there and how you got started.
Well, first of all, thanks for knowing that, because that's very nice of you to know that. A Seat at the Table started, MJ Acosta and I, who's an NFL Network reporter, mm-hmm. we were having a conversation one day at the end of 2019. And we are talking about how women in the sports industry really want a community or a sisterhood, and less of a networking type thing where you're always trying to get something from somebody else, but more so of like a genuine sisterhood of women that know that we have each other's back. But at the same time, we wanted to give back. And so we decided to host this a Seat at the Table event in Miami for Super Bowl, and brought in, it was very small and intimate, like 15 women that were in the industry, but we also contacted area high or colleges of girls that wanted to break into the industry, and we invited them to the table. So then when COVID hit, I started thinking we could actually turn this into a mentorship thing where we not only have community, but we also meet the need of giving back to the next generation and pouring into them. So virtually every Wednesday, we have a speaker that's in the industry, whether they're an agent or regardless of where they work within the industry, and they share with the young women who want to break into the industry over Zoom, and there's Q&A. And now we have a LinkedIn group. It has like 1,000 people in it, and it's just kind of taken off. It was one of those things, I guess, God just said it's time to do this. So that's been really cool. And then the Set Apart Women is a podcast that I started a few years ago, but really that started with a prayer call every morning for women that just wanted to join to pray at 7 a.m. And then someone recommended that it should be a podcast. So we turned it into that. But thanks for asking. That means a lot.
That's awesome. So people can listen to the podcast, I guess, wherever on all podcast platforms.
Yes, all podcast platforms. And then if anyone wants to join a seat at the table, we have an Instagram. It's @_jointhetable. And then we have a LinkedIn group. You just search it by searching A Seat at the Table.
And if anyone wants to follow you, Christina Hofstadt, on Twitter, it's @Christina's Buzz, correct?
Yep. And then Instagram is @CoachChristina.
@CoachChristina. And of course, LinkedIn as well.
Yep. I'm on there.
You're on.
It's crazy how many places.
Yes. I love the work that you're doing. It's incredible work. You have a Christ-centered heart. You're bold about your faith. You're willing to put it out there and share it. And really it all comes back to bringing people to God's word and trying to help as many people as possible and everything. So really appreciate the work that you do. Thank you for that. Thank you for spending some time with us here on Faith on a Field Show.
I appreciate it. You guys are awesome, and thanks for having the heart that you do as well. It's very inspiring.
Thank you, Christina. That was Christina Hofstadt, NFL Community Relations Manager. Thank you to her and Devon Kennard for both being guests this week. Big thanks to Doug Horton, our EVP of Business Operations, for all the great work he does. Big thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman for all of his excellent work with our website and podcast. And thank you to our producer, Ryan Lennox. Thank you also to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Enjoy FM Sports for airing Faith on a Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.